You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's been a very, very busy night, ladies and gentlemen, as we have been covering our standard fare, in addition to trying to break down from our unique perspective the results from Tuesday's election, so that making this show busier than most, but perhaps we have saved, well, there's no perhaps to it, we have saved the best for last this evening as our featured guest, now with us for the third and final hour, our good friend Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance Magazine, author of such titles as Paved with Good Intentions and White Identity. His website is among my daily reads at amren.com. We're very happy to have Jared back with us. I was talking to Jared earlier this week. I said, I fear I draw from the well too often. Jared, I guess so frequently, he will soon be a co-host. But Jared, thank you for working us in this evening. It's always great to have you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be on. I'm not qualified to be your co-host, James.
I wouldn't say that. I certainly would not say that. We would be more than honored. But we are happy with your regular appearances. Call it what you may. You're here quite often, and our audience is all the better for it, and I appreciate the compliment. Jared, I was tracking what I have determined to be some encouraging trends. You know, certainly you and I are in positions that give us the opportunity to receive feedback from across the country and around the world from people that we know are waking up and becoming engaged and informed and active in our calls and are coming on to our ideas. So I think that there are some situations from which we can draw hope and situations that, yes, we are fighting a retreating battle that cannot be denied, but there are trends that are occurring now that I don't know were out there 10 years ago when I started this show that would lead us to believe that perhaps tomorrow can be brighter than yesterday. Before we get to the reason you're on the show, would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I would. And I'd be curious to hear your reasons, and perhaps I could offer some of mine as well. But I do agree.
Well, I think certainly, again, just the amount of feedback that I receive as host of this show and to know that our audience is growing week in, week out. We welcome new listeners. I'm sure you welcome new readers to your website and your publication that would perhaps solidify your opinion. Obviously, what we've seen in Europe with the EU elections, you know, not all of those parties are legitimately pro-white parties, but I think that there are some positive trends over there, and hopefully they'll continue when it gets to the national elections across Europe. But things like that and many others, what would you say, though? And again, I'll get to a point and the reason why I wanted to bring this up at the very beginning, but if you agree, what would be some of the instances from which you would point or to
well,
which you would
in
point?
In my case, one of the most encouraging things is the number of young fellows that I meet in their 20s, maybe early 30s, people who have a thorough understanding of the racial question, who have, by the time they're 25, have a more thorough and mature, sophisticated understanding of these things than I had when I was 35. I mean, these are people who in high school understood things better than I did when I was 30, 35. I'm very impressed with these young people. There's nothing the slightest bit off-center about them or kooky. They are solid, smart, attractive, mostly men, but some women too, who see things so clearly. I am very gratified to see a younger generation of racially conscious white people coming on. That really makes me more confident about the future.
And that's a great example as well, Jared. And so I guess you could say that we agree that there are some things out there, perhaps now more than ever, not nearly enough. Now, let's be objective. Let's be dispassionate. There's not nearly enough occurring to lead us to believe that we're going to win this thing or that we're going to roll back the clock and we're going to have a future for our people and that our children will live healthy and happy lives where they won't have to fear persecution and can be proud of who they are without retribution. We're not there yet, but perhaps...
No.
Go ahead.
The other thing that really encourages me is to see the kinds of comments that show up on mainstream news sites.
Yes.
If there's the slightest racial angle, to a story, the commenters pick it up immediately, and they draw conclusions that the author of the article, say it's a New York Times article, or Washington Post, or Chicago Tribune, the authors of those articles would never draw the obvious conclusions, or they'll dance around them, pussyfoot around them, but the commenters, they go right to the heart of the matter. I find that very encouraging.
That is one of the biggest points I think we can highlight, and that is in anybody who pays attention to comments. Now, these are not articles posted to our websites, and these are not people that we know or are, you know, within our sphere of influence that are commenting and saying things exactly almost as we would say it. Now, sometimes you get a little overzealous, but their heart's in the right place, and they have good instincts. But you're right, Jared. Anytime there is a story out there that has a racial animus or it would be a story that we would take interest in, it looks as though it's overwhelming that those commenting, and obviously those commenters are real-life people out there, Mr. and Mr. America, Mr. and Mrs. America, rather, and they are commenting in the affirmative with a lot of common sense, the likes of which the author of these pieces could never hope to possess.
That's right. I think ordinary white folks, more and more of them, are waking up to just what rotten nonsense we're being fed by our so-called leaders, our rulers, our media elites, and that to me is also very encouraging. We don't have a political voice yet that we could point to, but boy, there is a lot of racial consciousness growing out in the country at large.
And I think as things get worse, and certainly the trajectory now would suggest that it will get worse before it gets better, and as it gets worse, more and more people will be forced to be honest with themselves. And I think certainly, Jared, you know, even the points where we can highlight and say, you know, these people are right-thinking people, there are that many more millions who understand these truths but are perhaps too fearful for speaking out. They might talk about it at the privacy of their own homes and at their dinner tables, but they're not yet out there. But I truly believe, and I've said this so many times, that the issues that you deal with and the issues that I deal with fundamentally are accepted by a vast majority of white Americans. Middle-class white Americans are with us on a lot of these issues. And I say all of that to say this. I certainly didn't intend to spend almost every second of the first segment here. We only have you for two segments tonight. But I say all that to say this. As momentum continues to build for our cause, and it is building slowly but surely, the attacks that we are subjected to will become more and more hysterical. And I don't really have enough time to get into it with you this segment, so we'll save it for after the commercial break, but I will just wet the palate of our audience by saying that of all the attacks that I've received, and they've been countless, Jared has perhaps been saddled with the most ridiculous, the most outlandish attack that I have ever witnessed. And it came from no less than Harvard University Press. A brand new book, as he writes on American Renaissance, is riddled with falsehoods. And so I'll ask Jared to ponder this question. As we continue to become more influential, Jared, will the attacks become more and more preposterous? Think about it, and we're going to talk about what you were subjected to right after these words.
We fought, we learned. We struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Okay, Jared Taylor, our featured guest tonight, and what a featured guest he is. There was a reason we talked about all the feel-good stuff that we feel as though is beginning to occur. Obviously, the left, the anti-white crowd, not even the left, I mean conservatives, quote-unquote, nowadays get into this game as much as anybody, they are very quick to hurl the R word at anyone with whom they disagree. The R word, racist, I wrote a book about it 4 years ago, basically means white person now. They hurl it out as a socio-political nuclear bomb to stifle dissent. And really, you know, racist, white supremacist, white separatist, white nationalist, neo-Nazi, xenophobe, bigot, they're all synonyms. They're all interchangeable. They all mean white person. You know, we've even been called neo-Nazi before. That's probably the most incendiary they can put at you. It's obviously completely untrue. But it's one thing for organizations to write this stuff. The ADL actually one time said I was a participant in a neo-Nazi rally. And that's not, you know, it didn't mean that I went to a Southern Baptist church or something like that. But a real live, there are neo-Nazis. There are real neo-Nazis. And then there's the neo-Nazis that we are, which means we're to the right of John McCain. And then there's the real neo-Nazis that with the swastikas and all. Well, the ADL actually one time wrote that I attended one of these rallies at a certain place in a certain time, which was libelous even by their standards. And I was able to obviously write them, and they didn't issue an apology, but they did take it down, thankfully. Right. But Jared has experienced something the likes of which perhaps I will never know, and if I'm lucky, I won't. But new book from Harvard University Press defames Jared Taylor and American Renaissance, riddled with so many obvious lies, Jared, that even with my experience, it befuddled even me. Please break it down for us and spend the rest of this segment doing so.
Well, it was shocking to me. A fellow named Robert Sussman, who is a professor at Washington University in St. Louis, he's written a book called The Myth of Race. See, race doesn't exist. You and I are just deluded and hateful simply to be talking about race. But in any case, a chapter in this book is called America's Virulent Racists, The Sick Ideas and Perverted Science of the American Renaissance Foundation. That's one of the chapter titles. Well, this entire chapter has been published on Salon.com, And the chapter title itself has an obvious factual error. There's no such thing as the American Renaissance Foundation. There's a New Century Foundation that publishes American Renaissance, but that's just a silly factual error. He gets my birth date wrong, and he misquotes people, things that I have said. He attributes to Arthur Jensen. I guess I should be flattered to say that things that I had said are being attributed to Arthur Jensen. But here's another typical example. He says, the foundation's goal, the American Renaissance Foundation, which doesn't exist, but its goal is to demonstrate the purported superiority of the white race. Well, gosh, that's not what we do at all. We're perfectly prepared to point out that Asians, North Asians, have higher IQs, that blacks are better at certain sports. But no, we demonstrate the purported superiority of the white race. But I suppose the most surprising thing, really, is that he says that American Renaissance and the conferences that we hold, we preach, I'll quote directly, when a group publishes a journal and holds conferences preaching pro-Nazi, anti-Semitic, xenophobic, and racial hatred, and glorifies such hate mongers as Adolf Hitler and Jesse Helms. you wonder, where in the world does this stuff come from? You've been reading American Renaissance. You've been to our conferences. When's the last time we were preaching pro-Nazi, anti-Semitic, xenophobic, and racial hatred?
It's never happened. As a matter of fact, it has never happened, and that is a fact. You know, but see, these people will throw this out there and know that you won't be there to defend yourself, and know that the people like Salon who will run these insane pieces won't give you the opportunity to set the record straight, and that's all it is setting the record straight. It's not even a matter of opinion. Facts are facts. That's what I wanted to put in that example with the ADL. But to say that the American Renaissance, that your conferences or that your publication has in any way cozied up to neo-Nazi groups is just a bald-faced lie.
Yes, glorify Adolf Hitler. Well, this and Jesse Helms. Not that I think that Jesse Helms is particularly a hate monger, but I don't believe we've ever mentioned Jesse Helms, for heaven's sake. But we're preaching pro-Nazi racial hatred. I hope that nobody out there has decided not to come to the next AR conference because they have discovered that we preach pro-Nazi racial hatred. But now here's a description of the conferences. I don't know, you've probably been to, what, 3, 4, 5 by now? But this is gathering place for white supremacists, white nationalists, white separatists. Now, I think all this is very interesting, how they dice things so finely, you know. There's separatists, nationalists, and supremacists out there, as well as neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan members, Holocaust deniers, and eugenicists. Now, doesn't that sound just like the conferences you've attended half a dozen times, James?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's just so absurd, Jared. It is laughable. If not for the fact, you know, this is the kind of so-called reporting and investigative journalism you would expect from a very obscure left-wing blog, you know, that barely exists on the internet. The fact that this comes from Harvard University Press is why we're talking about it tonight. Yeah. It's entirely overzealous and hysterical. But, Jared, it gets back to what we were talking about in the first segment. And I regret that time always flies far too quickly when you're wrong. We only have 2 minutes left. But do you believe that this hysterical, overzealous reaction, this book, is in response to the fact that your organization, your publication, is gaining in terms of influence and that they're using an institution like Harvard to push it?
I hope that's the case. It's impossible to read their minds. What has very much astonished me is that when I called the attention of Harvard University Press, I got no reply. I called it to Salon's attention. They published this chapter, and they wrote back and acknowledged. They said, "Okay, we'll look into it," but it's all still up. This is absolutely flabbergasting to me. I have got an article pointing out all these errors and linking to what we've actually said and written on in the American Renaissance archives. Any fool with 3 clicks can discover what perfect nonsense this chapter is. And yet, Salon has still got it up. And so we are going to be sending a very stiff lawyer's letter to Harvard University Press and to Salon very soon. and we'll see if they can see sense.
Apparently no solidarity amongst the Ivy Leaguers. Our esteemed guest this evening, himself a graduate of Yale, unfortunately, perhaps that's part of the Harvard-Yale, maybe that's the difference.
Right.
But nevertheless, Jared... Absolutely. Well, listen, it just goes to show that this is the kind of stuff that you can expect to be saddled with if you are effective, ladies and gentlemen, but do not, and this is the key tonight, do not let these falsehoods and lies deter you from supporting the men out there worthy of your support, the men out there who are leading this resistance to the obliteration of our people. You know, at the end of the day, what do we want? We want the right to self-determination and to be proud of who we are, and we believe that we have unique group interests that should be advanced by our spokespeople and organizations as well. Nothing more, nothing less. We don't seek to oppress, we seek to exist. And Jared Taylor,
That's
for over
right.
20 years now, has been heading up that righteous movement, and because he has been so effective, I believe, is why Harvard has this new book, Riddled with Falsehoods. You can read Jared's rebuttal, and it's a fine one, at amren.com. And Jared, I saw this, and I wanted to work you on for what influence we have with our radio audience to set the record straight. Certainly, you're preaching to a friendly audience here, but we still wanted to go on the record with you about this monstrosity, and I appreciate you for giving us the time.
Well, thanks so much for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great night.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good night.
Eddie the Bombardier Miller up next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
In honor of Eddie the Bombardier Miller, ladies and gentlemen, New York, New York, by Frank Sinatra, to welcome Eddie the Bombardier Miller back home to Memphis from New York. The last you saw or heard from Eddie was at our special event here for the 10-year anniversary a couple of weeks ago. And since then, Eddie has been all the way up to Manhattan to run a 26-plus mile marathon. Eddie ran, not just ran, but completed the St. Jude Marathon. Let's give him a big round of applause. Nearing 70 years of age and running more miles than I have in my life. He's done the New York Marathon, and in 2 weeks he's going to be doing the Memphis Marathon for St. Jude. It's his passion. We salute him. Welcome home, Eddie. A hero's welcome to you, my friend.
It is so good to be back, young man. Just came back. I've been opposite ends of the spectrum, been down to Holcomb, Mississippi, and that is a fur piece from New York, young man. There's a huge cultural gap there. But I'm going to have to tell you, I had a wonderful time in, going to and from New York. My family spoiled me absolutely rotten. They planned it in my honor, the trip up there and back. My money was no good. Carried a childhood friend of mine, Stanley McGahee from North Alabama, a.k.a. Redneck McGahee, and he was in culture shock. The old boy saw some stuff in the Big Apple that he ain't never seen in Alabama. It kind of shook him up, some of the things he saw, some of the social things. But I'm going to tell you what, overall, I give the people there in New York A+. And for their behavior, they treated us, James, and all the listeners out there, they treated us like royalty. We got there. My family took me up there in a big Suburban so I could stretch out on the way back. And that's what saved my legs from being sore. As you people might know, we raised, us, me, James, the cesspool, other friends, we raised $3,550 for New York. We raised $1,050 for the Memphis St. Jude Marathon. But I'm telling you what, the conditions were about as tough as you could get. Here's what happened. I got up, you know, the daylight savings time changed over up there when we were there.
I thought about that. Not to interrupt you, Eddie, but I thought about that. Let me quickly share a behind-the-scenes story. As I said, I think I've slept about 30 minutes total since October 27th when my son was born. Eddie somehow managed to call me or to text message me during one of those 30 minutes over the course of the last week and a half that I have slept. Eddie was lost in Newark, New Jersey, God's country, Newark. And I wanted you to know, Eddie, that I didn't get that message until the next day, but apparently you found your way out of Newark and up the turnpike into New York, and you made it there safe and made it back safe, which we're all the more happy about. But, yeah, I noticed that of all the days, I had asked you to come on the show to call in from New York last week, and just to give the listeners, you know, a little update about where you were and what you were going to be doing the following morning. Eddie ran this marathon, 26 miles, as part of his ongoing efforts to help the patients of St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Eddie ran that last Sunday, so obviously last Saturday I wanted Eddie to come on to give us a little update, you know, about what he was doing, what he was seeing, you know, how we felt, you know, before the big race. And he said he was going to bed at 5 so he could wake up. And it dawned on me the next day that of all the days for daylight savings time to hit, it hit during the night before the marathon. It hit obviously last Sunday morning or midnight Saturday, whenever it actually goes into effect. So did that throw you for a loop, Pappy, or what?
Yes, it played into a perfect storm of just bad happenings. It left me drained. I mean, I cannot tell you how tired I was. I was worn out when we got there. As the people might know, the political cesspool birthday party was like being on, you know, a whole pound of cocaine. I mean, James and I were just crazy with adrenaline. That was one of the greatest things that ever happened in our life at the political cesspool, the political cesspool birthday party. And the people will never know how hard it was on us getting ready for that, especially James, who planned the whole thing and had, you know, having a baby coming on. The things happening behind the scenes trying to get that birthday party going that you would never, ever believe. I mean, it was just like Satan was working against us, but James pulled it off. But we were drained. James, I was emotionally drained after that, as you were. We worked our tail off when Sam was in town, and Kurt, you know. Boy, that wore all of us out. And I was tired when I got to New York. You mentioned daylight savings time. We got into bed at 5 o'clock, got to sleep pretty good, but our clock alarm went off at 3. We're supposed to get up at 4 o'clock, but we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got my uniform on, got everything ready to go. Tried to eat some breakfast and puked like a dog because I was so wound up. I mean, I cannot tell. I mean, I was just walking on the walls. I was so wound up for that marathon. And we had to get to Central Park. My family got a cab, took me to Central Park about 5:15. It was gale force winds. It's been raining cold, man. We got on the St. Jude Heroes bus. They had special buses just for the St. Jude Heroes who had raised $3,500 or more. They carried us to Staten Island. We got to Staten Island about 6:20 to 6:30 to get the steamy hot breakfast, the eggs, the biscuits, the pancakes, the oatmeal, the hot coffee. The only problem was the gale force winds blew the St. Jude Heroes tents over the stoves, the whole 9 yards, so we got nothing to eat except for some old dried out bagels. And the coffee was, bless their heart, they worked like dogs for us both. So I had nothing to eat. From Saturday night, about 6 or 7 o'clock, got over there at 6 o'clock in the morning, still hadn't had anything to eat. My corral didn't take off until 10:55 to 11 o'clock. So I'm gone. That's a long time to go without eating when you got to run that far. And like I usually do, I was so excited, I left my little goo. You runners, you'll know what I'm talking about with the goo and the hammer supplements that you take during run. I left them in the room. Like a genius I am. And so we took off at about 10:55, 11 o'clock. The cold was blowing. Me and a couple of little St. Jude Heroes tried to get under a tarpaulin out where the tent used to be to get out of the wind. The wind blew so hard they had to reroute the wheelchair racers off the first bridge. That bridge, you'd think you're going up to Mount Everest. That bridge is so high. I'm sure the Copperhead could tell me which one it was. I can't remember. Speaking of the Copperhead, I'm back. I'm so far on phone calls. My phone has just burned up with so many people texting me and calling me with goodwill wishes. I've been so humble, James. The people I don't even know from the cesspool, cesspool listeners, people on the internet. But anyway, we got running into the strongest headwind. They said it was the slowest marathon on history in New York because of the head. We were running to, like, in some points, like about a 45 mile an hour headwind.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that because your daughter was up there with you. She was text messaging me with updates, and I think you said you had to leave at 5 in the morning to get down there to run. And on Tuesday afternoon, she told me you were about to cross the finish line. So I was. No, I'm just kidding. It was later in the day than I expected.
I'm telling you what, the headwind was, you know, my time was about at least an hour off my slowest record. And I don't feel bad because everybody else was.
Listen, when you're flying in an airplane, the headwinds delays you. So if an airplane can't take a headwind, I can't imagine a runner doing it.
It was tough. I'm not exaggerating. This is the first time it's ever happened to me. I've been forced backwards by a strong wind before, but I've never been blown sideways. I'm telling you what, when you're up on one of these high bridges in New York, that's a long ways up in the air for a country boy like me. And it literally blew me, just not me, but thousands of other people were having an extreme amount of trouble with that wind. And it blew me at one point about 18 inches to my right. And it was pretty spooky, I'm here to tell you. You can look down. It was like looking down, like I say, off of Mount Everest down. To, you can see the water. I don't know what body of water that was. Because we crossed many bridges. We went through all five boroughs in New York. And I had my picture made with cops, different places. I'm going to try to get those photographs on the Facebook and have James, you can get them on the Cesspool website for the listener.
Yeah, I would absolutely love, you know, we've done that before in some of your Memphis marathons, but this is the New York marathon. And anyway, folks, the reason we're talking about this to wrap up the show, we told you tonight was a lot of good news, nothing but good news for the most part, encouraging trends. Well, we certainly wanted to welcome our very own co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, back to Memphis on the completion of his New York marathon. Very momentous occasion. We're going to talk one more segment about it.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. You know we're all family here, and what one member of the family does, we like to share with the rest of y'all. And so, you know, whether it's the birth of the heir apparent or Eddie's marathons, it's all important to us, and if it's important to us, we hope it'll be important to you. So we like to share a little bit of ourselves with you. Well, more than a little bit. We share a lot, and we share as much as we can. What we can't share, you don't want to see. I can't guarantee you.
so true.
Anyway, we're proud of Eddie. You know, I know we're just a bunch of neo-Nazis and racists and white supremacists here, but when we're not burning crosses and causing terror, we like to run marathons at nearly 70 years of age that benefit children afflicted with catastrophic illnesses. These are children of all races. This is Eddie's passion, and we're proud of him for doing it. It is a great sacrifice, a personal sacrifice of time and effort, and a physical sacrifice that he's doing. And I think in doing these marathons, Eddie has done more to help children, not just white children, but certainly white children are helped as well, and we're happy about that and very, very proud of that. But children of other, I think Eddie has done more to help children of other races in running this marathon than the ADL and SPLC has ever done. Because at the end of the day, they're not for helping other people. They are for discriminating against our people. They're not for the uplifting of other people. They're for enriching themselves and certainly oppressing European Americans. And so, Eddie, I salute you for that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I salute, James, as you know as well as I do, the listeners, they gave till they bled. Some of our listeners gave more than one time, and they contributed greatly. And it was a lot of work, too, but, you know, getting that money from other sources. But I could not thank our listeners enough. Speaking about the physical sacrifice, let me tell you what pain, I tell you what, going to that hit, my legs normally don't start giving me trouble till around mile 19 to 20. But I'm here to tell you, I came up on mile 18, and Coach Kevin Leathers was there. He's the Nashville coach for St. Jude. And he saw me coming, and he calls me a Pappy or Pawpaw, whichever one he's using that day. He said, "How are you feeling, Pawpaw?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think you could hurt much worse and still live." I said, "My legs are hurting, man. On a 10-point scale, they're hurting 11. He said, "Well, you know what? You're a mile 18 in a marathon fighting a 35 to 45 knot headwind." He said, "If your legs didn't hurt, I would be worried about you." I'm telling you what, my legs hurt, man. But strangely enough, about mile 19 and a half, mile 20, they broke loose. That was the good news. The bad news was, James, I think we told people on the radio, back on August the 23rd, I passed out because my blood pressure dropped from being dehydrated, and the blood pressure medicine I take plays havoc with my blood pressure on hot days. Well, at noon, I was debating on whether to take my noon dose. You know how I have to take all the blood pressure medicine. And I made the wrong guess. I took the blood pressure medicine, and at miles, get this, the marathon's 26.2 miles. At mile 25.8, I went down like a Titanic. I was out probably a minute. I got back up feeling like, I'm not kidding, I felt like I had Guillain-Barré disease. And it hurt. You just don't know pain. I mean, that pain, by God, it was mega pain. But Pappy got himself up. And I finished that dadgum marathon, got my medal to show for it, buddy. And people will say, "Is it all about me?" No, it's not. But I will have to admit, the human side of me, I enjoy the running. You even enjoy, as I know this sounds strange, people will probably think I'm on the psycho side, but when you start hurting so bad, it's almost unbearable, and you can overcome that in your mind. It's tremendous satisfaction to come. That's the greater satisfaction, overcoming the pain and continuing on. Then I'd rather be able to do that to the world than to run a world record marathon. You know, anybody can go run 3, 2, 3, 4 miles, but to go through that pain, like Coach Kevin says, if you're going to run distance, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. But that said, I'd like to go back on the New York people again. You know how we were always talking about Yankees and stuff, and I'm so proud of being from the South. But I'll have to take my hat off. I've never been treated with greater courtesy. Maybe they knew because we were doing it for a charity cause. And I'm telling you what, the NYPD, they must have more troops than the United States Army. I have never seen so many cops. My daughter said you couldn't get in Central Park with a bulldozer. They were just wall-to-wall cops. They would not allow anyone coming in there because, you know, there's terrorist things we've had at the Boston and I think the Chicago with the bombs and stuff. They were so nice. They were just courteous. When I went down, there was two cops that came out of the woodwork, paramedic, I think a nurse practitioner, assessed me real quick. I was good to go, so I took off again. Of course, it did subtract some of my time, but, you know, when you're already running an hour behind because of the strong headwind and starving to death, you're not too concerned about time. You just want to cross the line. You want to finish. That's the name of the game. And you're really competing against yourself, unless you're just world-class. But, James, going back to St. Jude, you know that's my passion, son, and it's your passion, too. And, Sam has a lot. Oh, golly, Sam did a full hour selling the St. Jude Marathon, fundraiser. We did that about, 2 months ago. I just think I went to eat a sandwich because Sam could sell sand to an Arab man. He did a marvelous job. And, our listeners would have given it anyway, but I will always love Sam for that. He took a whole hour, the Liberty News and Political Cesspool, and you did too, James, pushing St. Jude. The Political Cesspool, not just me, folks, the Political Cesspool has sacrificed airtime, work. Sam has sacrificed Liberty News. We have all, everybody in the Political Cesspool and Liberty News, we have all pushed St. Jude, and I'm so proud of that. They can call us racist Nazis until the cows come home. But we all know it's a lie. The only people that know this is a lie more than we know is the people that are calling us those horrible names. They know it's a stinking lie. I can guarantee you could audit their books, and I bet they wouldn't give 13 cents to any charity. But they hadn't given 5 cents in their whole life, James.
They haven't, and they won't. And I'll tell you, and you were talking about some of the great people. There were some of the great people here at our event in Memphis that they gave to you as well, particularly Hank from Florida. And I want to say this because I got to say something in closing here, Eddie. Again, I want to say we're proud of you. And remind people that Eddie's not done. He ran 26 miles last week. He'll do it again next month here in the St. Jude Memphis Marathon. That's over 50 miles in less than 30 days that this man is doing for a cause he believes in. And that's what we're about here. We're about standing up and sacrificing for what we believe in, whether it's our family, our political issues, our pet hobbies. It's certainly much more than a hobby what Eddie does for St. Jude. But, whatever it is, we go all in. And another thing that sets the Political Cesspool apart is that we will correct any meaningful error or fact. There was a kerfuffle between Keith and one of our callers at the end of the second hour as to whether or not Timothy Geithner is Jewish. Apparently, he is not. Apparently, he is not. I think he was a Jew until November of 2008, and then he wasn't anymore. I say that facetiously. His Wikipedia biography listed him as Jewish until 2008, but that was removed. It does say that apparently there are some Jewish relatives on his wife's side. Obviously, that doesn't make him Jewish. And so it appears as though David is right and Keith was wrong. Hey, even Political Cesspool hosts can be wrong from time to time, except for me and Eddie.
That's right.
but I do want to say this, too. And I think our caller at the end of the second hour misheard me. At least I hope that's what he was saying. I was reading a quote from Fred Reed about blacks controlling national politics. Certainly they do not, and certainly we have bigger problems than black behavior. But I do agree that so much of the media is focused on what they want, what they're doing, what they can't do, et cetera, et cetera. So I was agreeing with Fred Reed in that, but I think something got lost in translation there. Either way, we got a lot to talk about next week. Eddie will be back with us for a couple of hours next week. We're going to talk about oppression of Christians in Houston, Texas. We're going to be talking about Ebola and a lot of other things that Eddie's been wanting to talk about but couldn't because of the training for these marathons. We'll have Eddie next week before he goes off and runs another one. But very quickly, we only have seconds remaining, and I apologize for keeping this listener on hold for so long. I didn't know he was still there. It had been so long. But we have Philip from Arkansas. Philip, what can we do for you as time runs out?
Well, I was wondering if you had heard anything about the huge scandal brewing at UNC over the African Studies Department, how a lot of athletes were passed and really never had to go to class or take any tests or anything.
Well, I doubt that is something that is unique to that particular college, but I had heard about it, but only from you, my friend, and I have been so late in returning emails and text messages and things of that nature because of, obviously, the new normal here with the new arrival, my son, 10 days old or whatever it is. But listen, I want to get into that. I am glad that you called and brought it back to our audience's attention tonight. I'm going to look into the link that you sent me, and we're going to prepare treatment for it for next week.
Okay, good deal.
Thank you, Philip, and I appreciate you calling in. And that's all the time we have tonight. For Eddie Thermometer Miller, Keith Alexander, the rest of our staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. I'll see you next Saturday night. God bless y'all.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.